Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now. And they're off. The National Dog off to a flying start there, bolting out ahead. And, oh, what's this? Looks like several of the Labour Dogs have given up racing entirely, instead choosing to walk around in circles, occasionally biting each other. Surely that's counterproductive. Meanwhile, I don't believe this. The Act Dog, honestly one of the shittiest little dogs I've ever seen, has managed to pull himself to the front by biting onto the tail of the National Dog. He's literally being dragged to a podium finish. Here they come now, down the stretch. It's the National Dog way out in front, followed by the parasitic little scamp from Act and some old man wearing a bow tie. Following them is a bright-eyed hermaphrodite, brimming with hope, representing the Green Party and bringing up the rear, that's right, the New Zealand first dog, who will surely be disqualified for taking a bite out of a Chinese Shar Pei. What a bitch.
It's political commentary.
This morning we're going to be speaking with Jennifer Curtin. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm good.
That's good. It's nice to talk to you again.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too. So we're going to be looking at what's happening in the US. So President Donald Trump has temporarily banned certain Muslim nations from entering the US. And in New Zealand, a lot of people have been disappointed with Prime Minister Bill English's response to this decision. I just wanted to ask you, how do you think Bill English has responded to the temporary ban?
Well, you know, he's taken a very traditional conservative, I suppose, diplomatic soft approach because, you know, arguably he's really worried, you know, going to be worried about disrupting what has started to become, again, a good relationship, how Foreign Affairs would see it, a good and productive relationship with the US. And even though the TPP has fallen over, you know, New Zealand officials will still be keen to find some other way to follow through on some kind of trade deal. So you can sort of get his political or his policy perspective on this, but really most journalists were quite outraged. A lot of civil society organisations were outraged as well that he was so soft on this, and you'd have to say that, say, compared to somebody like Justin Trudeau, who came out straight away and, despite the shooting in the Quebec mosque, came out straight away and said, we are not closing our doors, we are not buying into any of this sort of discriminatory practice, and they're in the Five Eyes Network, they've got all the same kind of connections with the US that we have, and yet came out much stronger than English. So he did look a little bit insecure, I suppose, on the sort of moral and ethical front in that regard.
So why has he taken this approach?
Well, as I said, I think it's he's trying to be pragmatic, and I think the thing is this, and this might show that he's not quite as in touch as John Key was with the broader electorate. So what we sort of know about New Zealand's views on US policy is that at least foreign policy, that we look different to Australia. So we know that Malcolm Turnbull's also taken a very soft approach in response to Trump, and he's receiving the same sort of flack from civil society over there as we are. But I think the idea is that New Zealanders feel quite strongly about having a more neutral foreign policy stance with the US. Our anti-nuclear position sort of cemented that a long time ago, and behind the scenes, the trade officials and the foreign affairs officials have been working to reconnect with the US in a more meaningful way, sort of post-ANZUS, and English will be aware of that and wanting to continue that, and Trump is so unpredictable that perhaps that's part of his reasoning, that if they play it soft, we don't want to raise a red flag, you know, so that he cuts us off as well, because really, just right now, we don't have a strong sense, and I'm not sure Foreign Affairs would have a strong sense of exactly what's going to come next from the Trump administration.
Yeah, I mean, are we in a position to be able to take a stand against the US?
Well, I mean, there's taking a stand and then there's making a statement that
right.
says we don't support what this is, and we will continue to take, you know, refugees, and we will be always welcome to people, you know, immigrants from these seven countries. You know, don't taint us with the Anglo-American democracy kind of Western liberal group. You know, I think Trudeau's government is a model on this, especially since they've had their own internal terrorist act that it looks like was perpetrated by a French-Canadian who sides with Donald Trump.
Mm.
So if you don't take a stand as a leader on this, then you could be seen as saying that the racist side of these policies is okay.
Mm. Yeah. And because you're talking about how, you know, Canada has making a statement, but have they at all received from the US any kind of response, negative response to the fact that they're saying that no, they don't agree with how the US has kind of temporarily banned certain Muslim nations?
Well, I haven't seen whether or not there's been any retaliation. I mean, the thing is that Canada's already part of the North American Free Trade Agreement, so they don't really need to worry in the way that our officials might be worrying about wanting to join one. I mean, we're not in a particularly strong position. But if you talk to most Canadians, they see themselves as not necessarily the partner with the upper hand in the American-Canadian relationship. So I think it's watch this space. But I think the thing about Trudeau is that he understands that he has, you know, popular support on his position. And I mean, you know, leaders of governments are governing for their people, not for the president of the US. So So I suppose it's a watch this space on the Canada front whether or not there'd be any repercussions by saying we don't agree with the policy.
Mm. Well, thank you so much for speaking with us about that. I wanted to kind of move over to looking at what's been happening in New Zealand. So earlier this week, the Labour Party and the Green Party recently had a joint State of the Nation speech, which I believe has never happened before. Was there anything surprising that came out of the speeches and the event as a whole?
Well, I think they got their timing perfect because the election was announced yesterday for the 23rd of September. So so the fact that they did it on the weekend, and I suppose if there was one thing that people are saying was really wow about it, which was the fact that even, yes, it was the first time they'd done a joint one, but the jointness of it actually worked. So they looked in sync. They had their own kinds of positions to take that weren't in conflict. There was apparently a really good vibe and, you know, real lot of energy at the venue. So there wasn't any policy. Some people in the media think that's a bad thing. I would say that this is pretty standard at this time of the year that we're not going to see big policy announcements from Labor in particular until they're sure they know what where National stands, and that will sort of happen after the budget comes down, you know, in a couple of months' time. So the thing is that they've got a history of, say, announcing policy and then National coming in and sort of taking a little bit of it away, so taking the edge off it. So they'll have their policies sorted out. They'll just be doing a slow release of them over time to maximise their coverage. But I think, you know, overall it was a really good sort of statement, a symbolic statement, if you like, of how the two parties are going to be really comfortable working together and being able to be unified this time around, which they weren't particularly good at in 2014.
And how do you think Labor and the Green Party are looking as we head into the next elections?
Yeah, we probably need some more polls. They'll start to come. And it's good to see that the media the mainstream media is starting to talk up Little as a potential, you know, replacement leader, you know, a government leader. I mean, I think up until now, because Key was leader, you know, a lot of the narrative was in the press was just about how fabulous he was all of the time. And now, and there wasn't a lot of space for Little to even get a look in, and he was always only ever compared to Key rather than sort of evaluated in his own right. And so he's got there's a little bit of time now for him to shine and to put himself out there and demonstrate his capacities as potential leader of the country. And but they do ultimately have to build up their primary vote. So they were sort of around 25% last time around. If they need to sort of grab some of national voters from the centre, maybe win back some from New Zealand First, and allow the Greens to stay on the flank and capture the left vote. So that means Labor going back to doing, you know, public service, talking about the way in which they'll enhance public services like health, education, welfare, jobs, infrastructure, the things that they do well and the things that are likely to get those who are less well off turning out to the polls and voting for them.
Well, thank you so much, Jennifer, for speaking to us this morning. It'll be interesting to see what happens as we get closer to the next election.
Yeah, it's going to be a long campaign.
Yeah. And we'll hopefully talk to you soon again as we do another political commentary.
Cool.
Thanks, thank you, Anna. So much. See you.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.